If you'll turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Our brother is here yet encouraging us, strengthening us by the word that the Lord had given him to write. And he's coming at it, and indeed he's coming at it from his context, his perspective. I mean, the things that are important to him, as the scripture tells us, I believe in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. The Lord didn't make... There is an element that the Lord made our brother and makes us somebody that we're not. But who we are and our mannerisms and our history, our experiences and those things, the Lord works and doesn't remove those from us. He saves us from our sins indeed, but the people that we are and the experiences that we have, the Lord takes that and turns us where we need to be turned or uses them to our benefit and with His truth and His word. And so Peter is the same man, but yet he is a new man. And he is converted. He is converted. I think here where we're at in this chapter and in this book is an element that's right at the heart of this being converted. Again, the Lord Jesus told him, he said, Peter, you're going to deny me. He's just said he would go to the death with the Lord. He said, before the rooster crows in the morning twice, you're going to deny me three times, Peter. He tells him that that's what's going to happen. That's the way it's going to be. But I've prayed for thee, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he says, when you're converted, when I take these things and use them on you and use them in your life and bring you and help you, strengthen your brethren. How is it that we're converted? How is it? How is it that we're converted? And again, what does that mean? We can spend a lot of time on it. I've touched on it several times as we've gone through this study of our brother and his life as we have it in the scriptures. How is it that we're converted? Well, first, it's by faith in our Lord. And I'm not talking about salvation. Of course, someone that's converted is going to be saved. That conversion that we're talking about, though, is not the salvation of the soul. Peter was saved. But faith in our Lord, that what the Lord has said, what the Lord has called us in, what the Lord's commanded us in, is the truth. And that we not be halted between two opinions. We not have the world and friends, family, our desire, the desire of this flesh over here yelling and screaming at us, and then we and telling us everything that wants, and then we've got over here the Lord telling us what He wants and what His purpose and desire, and we're going like this. No, being converted is we're focused upon the Lord. We're focused upon Him. So faith in our Lord and in His Word, namely, is the first element of this being converted. And then what we find in this passage is the other thing is our desire and our pursuit to be like Him. Do you want to be like your Lord? Or do you have this position where you're thankful that your Lord is the way He is and what that means for you? But to go that far and to go and be like Him, you know, that's just a little bit too far and too much. We're subject to feel that way and think that way. You know what? We need to be like our Lord. We've been called to glory now and in eternity. We need to be like Him. We need to seek to be like Him. And so what our brother is telling us here, what the Scripture is telling us here, is how we can be partakers of the divine nature. Do you and I have any divine nature of ourselves? No. Our nature is rotten. Rotten. It's all found under the subject of the depravity of man. What we have naturally is a rotten nature. But the divine nature of our Lord, evidently we can be a partaker of it. Amen? That we can be. We need to know the promises, and that's our Lord speaking to us, as I mentioned. And then what we need to add to our faith. In verse number 5 of this chapter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5, we looked at these first few last time. He says, beside this, knowing about these promises, and how we can, by His divine power, verse number 3, be a partaker of His divine nature, add to your faith virtue, the valor, You know what? It takes courage and it takes valor to take what the Lord says and apply it to your life and to your thinking and to your pursuits when all this over here that I mentioned otherwise, your body, your mind, the programming of our childhood, the programming of our past, the programming we get from the world and the way of the world, when that's telling you something else, you got to be courageous to follow the Lord. And we need to add to faith that courage, that virtue, that desire for goodness, that desire for excellence that has been shown us by our Lord. We need to add to virtue and faith knowledge. Now, it comes back to the same thing that we need to know about the Lord and His Word. Not take His Word and, well, I can find this in the Bible and I can find that in the Bible, and being not only academic about it and that we know where the Lord talks or the Scriptures talk about different things, but that we know where it is and we really believe that the Lord's talking to me about it, talking to you about it. See, understand that the Scripture of our Lord is His love letter from heaven, His Word from heaven and eternity to you and me. And as dear children, oh, what a word it is. Isn't it by His Word that we've been brought to salvation? We've been told the truth. The Spirit of God has moved. The promises of God are sure and steadfast. And sure enough, an old wretched sinner like you and me has been saved. Do you think the Lord's kidding around? We can behave like we think He's kidding around. We can behave and take it that it's a hobby on our Lord's part and it's a hobby on our part. But this is our life, and we need to know about our Lord. This word knowledge here is speaking about the science. I like that word. I mean, my background is engineering. I like all things electrical and mechanical. I like all things curious that way. I like science. I enjoy science and physics and math and all those things related. Do you know how the Lord works? Do you know how justification and sanctification and righteousness are all connected? Well, maybe you do. I pray that you do. If you don't, learn just an example. You know about the grace of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord, the operation of God, as it speaks to us about in the book of Colossians. Do you know how God thinks? We need to learn how God thinks, how our Lord Jesus thinks, what His purpose and His plan is. We need to add to faith, virtue and knowledge, and you know what? We need to be self-controlled. The one that runs the race, striving for mastery. Are you striving for mastery in your service and walk with the Lord? Or is it a haphazard shot at the dark, throw it against the wall and see what happens and sticks kind of thing? How is it? I mean, these are questions I got to ask me myself and that you need to ask yourself. And none of us can do this for one another. Parents, I'm sorry, you can't do it for your children. Grandparents, you can't do it for your grandchildren. Spouse, you cannot do it for your spouse. You have to do it for you. You and I can't ride on Clarissa's faith. I can't ride on her valor or knowledge that she would have. I've got to gain that for myself. I need to add to my faith in the Lord. We need to be self-controlled. We need to be temperate. We need to add to faith temperance. And again, do we go after things and chase after things? Again, that the world, the flesh, the reasoning of man has taught us? Or do we control our flesh? Remember Romans chapter 7, there at the end of the chapter, a hallmark passage, where the Apostle Paul talks about how that what he knows and wants to do, he doesn't do. And what he knows to stay away from and not do, he does. And he says, oh, I'm a wretched man. He said, with the new man, if you will, in paraphrase, I find in my members, I find in myself a law written. With this old flesh, it's just bent against the Lord. But with this new man, it's always desirous and bent towards the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got a turmoil inside. If you're saved, if you're here and saved, and you don't have a wrestling within, then something's wrong. Either not saved or backslidden one. Because there's going to be, and understand, I'm to be an example to you as your pastor, but to be one, I don't come to you preaching and trying to expound upon 2 Peter chapter 1 and these verses here and verse number 5 through verse number 8, telling you to follow me. I'm to be an example to you. But what a condemnation when I come to this passage. I'm sad to say that that's the case, but I'm condemned in that I need to be adding to my faith these things too. I'm not waving the flag and saying, follow me. But you know what? We need to follow our Lord. Did the Lord have faith in the Father? When Jesus came in as a man, did he have faith in the Father? Brother Doug's Sunday school class he's pointed out some of those things. And what I preached on here recently about the Lord being there in John chapter 5 on Sunday. Does he have faith? Does he believe the Father? As a man, when Jesus came, he believed everything that the Father. Jesus was sent on a mission by the Father. That's what he said. Not what I say, but what he said. And did he believe him? Did he believe the promise that that you go to the cross, you win salvation for our people, I will sit you on this throne and make all your enemies your footstool? That's just one promise. You go to the cross and you give your life, and after you die, I'll raise you from the grave. Isn't that what David prophesied? You will not be suffered to see corruption. And many promises that are given to Christ. They're given to Christ from God. And I know that Jesus is God too. But the Scriptures come at us the way that they do, and the Lord tells us and reveals Himself the way that He does. Was Jesus self-controlled? There's something about the Lord that I was given today that was very good, and I meant to bring it to read it to you tonight. And I didn't bring it, but we'll look to do that here in the near future. It is a very, very good thought about the faithfulness of our Lord. He was self-controlled for our sakes, wasn't He? And we are the benefactors of that, but He was self-controlled indeed. And then add to temperance, we need to add patience. Add patience. Cheerful, endurance, and continuance. Cheerful endurance speaks about bearing up under the load. We've got to endure some things. Some things that this old body doesn't want to endure. And you know what? We don't need to become stagnant. We've got to keep on going. When we need to do so cheerfully. See, we can do so cheerfully by resting in our Lord. Does the Lord know about the bad thing that's come upon you, the inconvenient thing, the error, the mistake, the sickness, the compromising of health, the tragedy? Does the Lord know about that? I'm not saying that we're to be without grief. Your loved one dies, you're going to grieve. And we're going to grieve. We're really going to grieve for those that go out of this world without Christ. Because we care. That's the reason we need to be a good witness to them before that happens. Before they go out of this life. Sometimes it happens suddenly. But at the end of the day, we can know as the children of God, having our hearts and our pursuits right, that we can rest in our Lord. We can continue on in our Lord. We can know that days down the road, weeks down the road, months down the road, years down the road, our Lord is already there. Cheerful, cheerful, endurance, and continuance. Patience. I think that's a good definition for patience. A verse that I just want to mention in regards to patience is Luke chapter 21. I think this is, does well for you and I to remember this. A few words of our Lord. There's much here in this. Luke chapter 21, verse number 19. Our Lord says, "In your patience possess ye your souls." We're here. We're waiting on our Lord. What you find in the context here is a turning away of all promise, hated for his name's sake, verse number 17. But he says, in your patience, waiting on me, your cheerful, hopeful, endurance and continuance, possess you your souls. By the grace and help of the Lord, keep yourself together with your eyes focused upon me. I mean, it's a pretty serious thing to be told that the world may all hate us. None of us want to be hated. But they hated our Lord. And well, it could be with us that we would have times in our life or situations in our life that would happen. And you know what? We've got to wait for the deliverance of our Lord. We've got to wait for the help of our Lord. You don't get the grace that you need to go through a thing from your Lord, from our Lord, until we're right there in the midst of it. Then you get the grace for it. You don't get it in advance. Doesn't come FedEx or UPS a couple days ahead of time. Here's some grace, Jim. You're going to need this. You're going to need some strengthening. See, grace is indeed the general term of the favor of the Lord from what He does for us. You're going to need some strengthening. You're going to need some peace. You're going to need some power and ability to wait. You're going to need some strength and courage to be able to suffer physically until you get through this thing. Our brethren were scourged, stoned, beat up for the sake of their Lord. And the Lord gave Brother Stephen, He gave him grace, okay, that's a general thing, of strength and confidence in his Lord, that as he was being hit in the head and in the body with rocks, he would look up to his Lord and say, "Lay not this sin to their charge." We need to have patience. And the Lord instructs us directly that we would have patience and possess our souls in such. Would the child of God be tempted to recant and discount and go back on everything that Christ has done for them at the time of a trial, a coming on even of death? Of course the temptation will be there. But you know what? We need to rest in our Lord, and may the Lord help us. We need to pray to our Lord for the help that we need. Patience. In Romans chapter 5 also, patience is mentioned here. And we see here that there's a progression in the working of this in us. And it's just the way that it is. You just don't get a bag of patience, boom, and now you're, you know, grade 3 patience. It doesn't happen that way. You don't go through necessarily some training, some class time, and then get certified in so many hours of class time, and then you've got more patience. Listen how it works. In Romans chapter 5, verse number 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." I don't have condemnation on me anymore. I fear the anger of a father that loves me and will chastise me. But I know my Father, my Heavenly Father, for my Savior's sake, will not cast me into hell. I've got peace with Him. If I sin against Him, I know He'll come looking for me and He'll give me a whipping. He's not going to kill me. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace, into this grace, access by faith into this grace, this favor of the Lord. Fathers care for their children. That's the way it's supposed to be. And certainly the Heavenly Father cares for His children. This grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have a great expectation of what our Lord has promised us. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, the apostle writes, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. James says to count it all joy. Now listen, I'm not the first guy in line when we get bad news or got something that hurts or whatever to say, whoopee. But the brother, what we're told in the Lord, though, what the brother writes is count it all joy. Because here's an opportunity for the Lord to work in you, for you to grow up. Growing up. That's what we're talking about, is growing up. We're coming here to the close of this year, 2016. Have you and I grown up any in 2016? I pray so. But I wonder, and I'm talking about me, have I grown? Have you grown? Do you want to grow? Or are you just like the status quo? What would our Lord have us to do? Would He like us, our Lord just like us to float along? Or would He want us to grow? This little baby that we've mentioned on the prayer list here recently, you know, they're happy that he's growing. You know how they know he's growing? He's gaining weight. They weigh him often. Are we growing? Are we growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord? Verse 3, and not only so, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. Because I've seen the Lord deliver after that sort. I've seen the Lord deliver after that sort in my brother or sister's life. I've seen the Lord work in that thing in brother or sister so-and-so's situation. I've seen the Lord do work in that thing in my situation, my family. Tribulation, work of patience, and patience experience. And you know what? Experience hope. Hey, the Lord's alive. While there's life, there's hope, isn't there? You know, there's hope for all the sinners that we know that are without Christ to be saved as long as they're living. But when they're dead, there's no hope. And you know what? If the Lord saved one, He can save them all. And I pray that He does. Do you? Do you pray the Lord will save as an example? We have all kinds of things that we can apply that to life. We come back to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we see here that our brother writes, the Lord tells us, we need to add to faith virtue, to virtue knowledge of our Lord, knowledge of His Word, knowledge of what He's instructed us, commanded us, given to us, promised us. To that self-control, temperance, to temperance, patience, waiting. We spend most of our time waiting on the Lord and waiting for things, time to pass, and to patience, godliness. It's something that's been stolen. We've allowed it to be stolen from Baptists. Who wants to look like a holy roller? Who wants to smell like a holy roller? Well, we're not talking about having your hair in a certain shape. We're not talking about you wearing... There's some groups and cults that wear special underwear. Talk about being like Christ. What would Christ do? That's really it. What would Christ... Would Christ have me go around with a bone in my nose? Nope. Sure wouldn't. As an example, I mean, just take every aspect of life. Would Christ have me do this? Would Christ have me listen to this? Would Christ have me to watch this? Would Christ have me to... What does Christ want me to do? It's not about the don'ts. They're not all don'ts, but there's many do's. Be like the Lord. Be holy. Holy. Before the Lord, godliness, like God. Well, that's just too much. You get to be like, you try to be like God. Not, and He's not talking about being holier than thou. It's not about saying, well, brother, sister, so-and-so, I've arrived. Why haven't you? No. No, holiness and godliness is going to be looking to change self, not everybody else. I'm the member in our church that needs to change and pursue the Lord most. You know why? I'm on the inside of me, and I know me better than all of you. Now, Clarissa knows me pretty good, because we've spent a lot of time together, and my children. You understand what I'm saying? You know about you the most, and that's who you're given to work on, is you. I'm given to work on me. Holiness, to be like the Lord. Godliness. We need to be like our Lord. And then it's interesting that it's wrapped up here in these last two. To add to godliness, brotherly kindness. See, who is the example, the pattern of these things? Is it not our Lord Jesus Christ? Our Lord has been so kind. None has been more kind than our Lord. Than our Lord to give and lay aside so much for our sakes. In the picture that we have in the Scripture, that we have the Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, He said, "You've never asked anything in my name. Pray to the Father in my name that you might receive those things He asked for." So understand the layout of the family there that our Lord has told us. We pray to our Father, His Father and ours. And as the brother here has said, that puts us in a relationship that our Lord Jesus is our elder brother. What a blessed family to be in, amen? And our elder brother has been so very kind to us. Why would I want to beat on you? He loves you just as much as He loves me. Why would I want to treat you bad? Oh, there well may be cases that we need rebuked or we need reproved. But we need to do that right and according to what our Lord gives us. Always in love. Is our attitude to grind one another up, and as Brother James writes, to chew and bite and devour one another? Don't we desire one another's good? We can kid around, and I, you know me, I like to kid around and joke around, but you know, we need to be careful about that, because we certainly don't need to hurt one another. Brother James talks about that too, doesn't he? The tongue can be sharp in a heartbeat. Brotherly kindness in every way. A love for brothers and sisters that transcends everything, all family relation of this earth. You know why? It's eternal. It's eternal. I love my parents and they love me. And I'm thankful for them. But you know what? The bond that we have in Christ is stronger than even the blood bond that we have, they being my parents and I being their son. Because it's a bond because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brotherly kindness. You know what? Brotherly kindness, how it's pronounced in the Greek? Philadelphia. It's not too brotherly kind in Philadelphia these days, is it? We're also told in this about brotherly kindness. A couple verses come to mind. In Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, "Let love be without dissimulation." That means don't fake your love. Don't fake love. But let it be real love. And where you and I need to be corrected, let us take it before the Lord. And this is talking about agape love. It's talking about love where we would go and we would sacrifice ourselves and the things of ourselves for the sake of others. Love with legs on it. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another in brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Through the door, in order to be heard, my Lord tells me to prefer you before me. Let you go first. And I understand if all of us would do that with one another, nobody would ever get anything done. But that's to be our spirit, isn't it? Or no, my position is what needs to come forth in this. No, we need to prefer one another. Love one another. Do things as our Lord would say. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, church at Ephesus. See, like us, they in Asia Minor, being pagans, preferred themselves first. They only loved somebody else if that somebody else could gain something for them, the way the world works. But let all bitterness, let all wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, wanting to get back. And be kind, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Do I know all the sins that Christ has forgiven me? Aren't you and I glad that we don't have to know them all? But He's been good in forgiving them. And may we have that brotherly kindness one towards another. I'm thankful that we do. I want us to have more. And you know where it starts? It starts with me. From this sinner, this child of God here at Olmsted Baptist Church, it starts with me. With you, it starts with you. So add these things. Beside all this, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity, agape love, a love feast, an abundance of love and care one for another. Love not just of word, but of deed, of giving of self, like Christ gave of Himself. That's what we need to do. All these here, if we have agape love towards our Lord and toward one another, do they not, does not this agape love that we're to add to faith, does it not touch all of these things? See, if you and I really love our Lord, what is it that Jesus told His disciples and tells us? If you love me, keep my commandments. First, you've got to be interested in what He said. First, you've got to be interested in where to go to find out what He said. Next, you've got to pursue, what did He say? And how do I get that over here to me in my life in obeying the Lord if we really love Him? And then loving one another. When the Lord tells us that we must love one another the way the Father loved Christ, the way Christ has loved us, we've got a tall order to pursue, don't we? But we need to. All for the honor and glory of our Lord. So these things that we're told to add to faith. Quickly, in verse number 8, for if these things be in you, they're going to become a part of you and abound. You know what prevents us from adding these? There's nothing wrong with having a family. There's nothing wrong with having a wife, a spouse. Nothing wrong for a woman to have a husband. Nothing wrong with having children. All those are ordained to the Lord. We need to have work. We need to have our households. There's nothing wrong with those things. There's nothing wrong with taking the blessing of the Lord and using it in ways that we can enjoy and use it in ways, of course, in the service and the furtherance and kingdom of the Lord. Honoring the Lord in all that we do. in our work and even in our fun. You know, you can honor the Lord in your fun. You can. The Lord is never looking to squelch enjoyment. We just need to put it in its right place with the right things. But you know what holds us up in adding these things? Because we need to be, he says, giving all diligence. Beside this, giving all diligence, add. You know what one of the obstacles is? Is living life. Living life and focused on the business of life. I can allow to make me to forget that I need to be adding these things to my faith daily. And there's nothing wrong with living life. But I need to be living it with my Lord. You and I need to be walking with Him. Lord, help me to add today. Lord, help me to have a consciousness to add these things to faith that You've given me. And the thing is, the things that we would do wouldn't change if at all. But we do them, we look to do them to the honor and glory of our Lord. If these things be in us and you and me and abound, that means there's a lot of it going on. They make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What was it our Lord said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29? Learn of me. What do you know about your Lord? What do I know about my Lord? I need to know more about my Lord, don't you? He says, learn of me. He said, if these things be in us, we're adding them to faith, looking for opportunity, being connected about doing so, knowing what the things are that we are to add, be looking for opportunity for them to abound in our lives. Understand that this is a mission given to us by our Lord. Be talking to the Lord about it and what we need, the very presence of heart and mind to pursue them. And the spiritual help and blessing of our Lord to do so, they make us that we will not be barren. Do you want to be a tree that doesn't have any fruit? I don't want to be barren in the knowledge of Jesus. See, Jesus is the manifestation. He shows how all these things are perfectly. And our Lord, again, has told us to learn of Him. How would Jesus want me to live this life that He's given me? What would my Lord Jesus do today? Going to school, going to my work, working in my home. In Luke chapter 9, the Lord caused this scripture to occur to me and to understand a connection here. The Lord sends out messengers. Luke chapter 9, He sends out messengers before Him to the villages of the Samaritans where He's going to go and preach. And when He comes there, there's something about the countenance, the manner of our Lord that makes Him look like He's on His way to Jerusalem. And something is conveyed that that's His priority. Now, He sent these messengers before Him. Verse 53, and they did not receive Him because His face was as though He would go to Jerusalem. See, rather than receiving Him and beseeching Him or at least communicating with Him, won't you stay a while? We know you're on your way to Jerusalem. And when His disciples, James and John, saw it, you know, they could see what's going on. They said, Lord, wilt Thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? And He turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Do we know what manner of spirit we are of? Do we know and understand what we've been called to do? To add to faith? Do we know about our Lord Jesus? Have we learned of Him? Do we have a desire to learn of Him? which will lead us next time as we'll touch on it in Galatians chapter 5, what the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit is. Yeah, there is fruit that comes from a life wherein the Spirit of God lives. And we can see that in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26. How about you? Are you adding to your faith? Do you want to add to your faith? Do you hear the Lord in His Word speaking to you that it's necessary for you and I to do so? Are you converted? Are you and I satisfied with just being a babe in Christ? Are you satisfied, as it tells us there in the epistle to the church at Corinth, that we stand before the Lord and that which we've done and served and walked with our Lord after He saved us, it'll be tried by fire and the wood, the hay, and the stubble will be burned up, and all that'll be left is that treasure that we've laid up in heaven with our Lord by obeying Him. Are you satisfied just to arrive and everything be burned up? Are you converted? Do you want to be converted? I'm not talking about being saved. I'm talking about growing up for the saved. May our Lord help us to pursue these things. May our Lord help us to be convicted about these things, meditate upon these things. May our Lord help us to go to our Lord and say, Lord, where am I at with this? Where am I at? What would you have me to do? And not back away from Him and cower away from Him. Lord, help us that we wouldn't say, oh, that is just so flat and so square, and I really want what this world's got. You know, maybe you need to evaluate about your soul and your condition. I don't know. Only you and the Lord know. But may the Lord help us. Are you adding to your faith? Are you converted? If you're here and you're not saved, we point to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? The pursuit of these things is not the way of salvation. It's not the way of the forgiveness of sins, the granting of everlasting life, the rescue of the soul. That is found in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Not religion. Not pursuit of the filling of the commands of the Lord to His children. Not knowing about the Bible, but repentance before God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel, His death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of your soul. To rest and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, He being your only final hope and help. That salvation is found in Him, the God-man. Not in Olmsted Baptist Church, and not by saying something to me or presenting yourself in a service, but by trusting, repenting of your sins, and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ.